And the children of Eli did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. See how that word angel is capitalized? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf, which Aaron made. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Our blessed Master, our great, glorious God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come, always come with joy, come with thanksgiving, come with anticipation of you being with us, speaking to us through your word, speaking to us by the Holy Spirit, taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us. Father, we thank you for the saints of God. Lord, your people are just, they're your people. That in and of itself makes them peculiar and precious. They're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. The only reason, Lord Jesus, you haven't destroyed this world is because of your people. And oh Lord, when you bring your last sheep in, call that last one. Oh Lord, you'll fold this old earth up like you'd fold up an old rotten garment. Put it away and bless your holy name. You'll bring in a new heaven and a new earth, and everybody on that new earth and new heaven will, oh Lord, live in righteousness, dwell in righteousness where you are and with you. God, blessed be your name. Meet with us tonight. Be merciful to all the people that we have prayed for. And you know their names. You know their needs. And we pray for those who have not yet started attending back here. We pray, Lord, that you'd move on their hearts. Give them grace to come. Lay their fears. Lay their anxieties. For Lord Jesus, we know that you'll protect your people and keep your people. And we bless you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, the fact that he meets us like he met with us this morning, that's supernatural. God taking and speaking to you, stirring in your heart, stirring in your soul, stirring in your mind. That's supernatural. He's going against your flesh. He's going against your weakness. He's going against your frailty. And he overcomes all that and comes in your heart and in your soul and speaks to you. That's supernatural. Yeah. And life from Christ, life from God, the life that he sustains once he starts, that's supernatural. I couldn't keep myself. Couldn't do it. Can you? No, can't do it. Well, I want to talk tonight about God's visit upon sin. God's visit upon sin. You know, last week we talked about, you know, they slew 3,000 by the sword, by the hands of the Levites. And that showed us, you know, that these men that did this shows how the Spirit overcomes even the flesh. They sought to honor and glorify God over all natural causes. I mean, he says slay brothers, companions. And they slew people that they knew. And they had sentimental considerations. And yet these men did what they were told to do. And here's the thing, that if you think that's bad, you wait till God gets ready to come through the land. When God gets ready to wrap this thing up, you think killing 3,000 at one time because they made a golden calf, got naked, and danced around that golden calf, and sat down to eat and feast and got up and played. Now what would God do with people that sets up idols in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ? What should He do to people like that? You know, Houston said a minute ago, he said, people say, you know, how you doing? He said, I'm doing better than I deserve. If God gave us what we deserve, we would have nothing. But thank God He don't give us what we deserve. That's what grace is all about. That's what grace is all about. He gives it to us in spite of everything there is against us, in us, that's against His grace. And He comes and brings that grace. And I tell you what, you imagine the scene if you can. Here's 3,000 people laying around dead. They're dead. Blood's all around. Carnage. Some people are screaming. Some people are crying. Some people are, oh, whoa, just having an awful time, lamenting greatly over someone that's died. And the day started with that unholy, unholy laughter and merrymaking and dancing. And the day ended with dead bodies all over the place. God visits men for sin. And don't think for a minute He don't and He won't. That's why we fear God. I fear God. Don't you? I don't want Him to deal with me after my sins, after my flesh. And I'll tell you what, that's why He said over in 1 Corinthians 10, that's what He says, don't be like these people. Don't be like them. He said, these were written for our samples, for our examples, for our admonition, for our learning. God's saying, these people, this is what they've done, and this is the consequences of their actions. And He said, don't you do that. And if you think, any man thinks he stands, I mean, you say, well, I've got it made. There's no way in the world I can fall. No way in the world I can... Listen, He said, any man thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I tell you, the king of Israel fell. Simon Peter fell. And all, listen. But I do know this. We as believers has no place or need of a literal sword. We don't need a literal sword. That's not the weapons of our warfare. You know what the weapons of our warfare are? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's the only sword we need. That's the only sword we need. And the Scriptures is our sword. This is what we use to stand against sin. It's what we use to stand against idolatry. It's what we use to stand against the enemies of the Lord. You know, our Lord Jesus was in a house and He was teaching and He was preaching. And while He was doing that, a man walked in and said to the Lord, Lord, your mother and your brethren stand outside desiring to speak with you. He said, looked at that people and said, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? And he looked at them disciples and said, "This is my mothers, this is my brothers, this is my sisters, them who do the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now that's what he said. His mom and daddy, his daddy and mother and brothers wanted to talk to him. He said, "Listen, this is my family right here. It's my family. The people that do the will of my Father." And I tell you what, and the will of his Father is to look to Christ, trust Christ, believe Christ. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. Now, beloved, you know, how do we deal with those we dearly love? Are we going to let any companion, anybody in our family, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, grandchild, great-grandchild, we're going to let anything hinder our relationship with Christ? Huh? No, we're not going to do that. You know, and I'll tell you something else, every one of us in this building tonight who are saved by the grace of God, you came to Christ by yourself. You didn't come with your wife, you came for yourself. You didn't come with your children, you came for yourself. And everybody in this building that's come to Christ come alone. Is that not right? And so this is what I'm saying. You know, it's either we can't let nothing come between us and Christ. Now look what it said here now in verse 30. "And it came to pass," and it always does, "it came to pass." And On the morrow, the next day, it was the next morning. It was the next morning. They'd no doubt probably buried everybody. The next morning, Moses got up. There was no evidence of Israel's repentance. There was no fear. There was no dread. There was no sorriness. There was no, "Have pity on me, have mercy on me, please forgive me." There was none of that. None of that. You don't hear any of these children of Israel saying anything. No, no. No evidence of it. So Moses, it came to pass on the morrow, he got up and spoke to the people. Talked to all the people. He said, "You've sinned a great sin. A great sin. And now," oh my, listen, Moses didn't wink at sin. Moses didn't minimize the awfulness of their sin. He never tried to cover it up, act like they just made a mistake. They had a few faults in their life. That God loved them anyway. That God was going to, you know, just take them in His arms and just hold them up close and not pay any attention to what they had done. Not pay attention to the fact they built a golden calf. Not paying attention that they got dancing naked, and not paying attention that they said, "Oh, these are the gods that brought us up out of Egypt." Oh yeah, God go just reach and get them and hug them. Oh, listen. He said, "You sinned the great sin." And here's the thing, Moses clearly loved these people. He loved these people. He loved them. Yet it didn't keep him from dealing faithfully with them. He dealt faithfully with these people. He didn't mince words with them. He knew what it was. He knew who God was. And oh, listen, he loved these people. And it didn't keep him from dealing faithfully with them. And you know, that's what the Scriptures tells us over and over again. That men who love God and are called of God, and we as with our children, and that we got to deal faithfully with them. Faithfully with them. Now look what he said. In verse 30, he said, "And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." Now I'm going to go up to God. I got to go up. I'll go up on that mountain where God's at. I'll go up where God dwells. I'll go up where holiness is. I'll go up where justice is. And then he says, now peradventure, I'll make an atonement for your sin. God has two ways of dealing with sin. He deals with it in death, or he deals with it in a substitute. One or the other. He deals with it in a substitute, or he deals with it in a person. And I mean deals with it personally. And deals with it in that person. And so here he comes, and he says, oh Lord. And then he deals with his people as a father. As a father, he chastises them. But, you know, so here he goes, and he comes up there, and the Lord, he said, Moses, I'm going to destroy this whole people. And Moses, remember, interceded with him. He said, Father, they don't, you know, they, you know what they'll say? Egypt will say, he brought them up here just to kill them. He said, he forgot he's covenanted with them. And he pleaded with God on God's own promises and God's covenant and God's glory. And God said, well, I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. And then when he says the peradventure, it means maybe. That word peradventure means maybe. And why he says peradventure, maybe, is because of the hardness of their hearts. Their hearts were so hard. Maybe because of your unrepentant attitude. Because you have no sorrow for sin. And this was the situation. This is a stiff-necked people. And the people for whom Moses was about to appear in the presence of God, they had not repented. They were hard-hearted. They were not sorrow for the sin. Unrepentant attitude. And he said, I'm going to go up into the presence of God. You know, there's a couple times in the scriptures. You might remember David. When he was left out of run out of Jerusalem on account of Absalom. And he started around a mountainside, and there was a man named Shimei there. And Shimei went to cussing David. And not only cussed him, but picked rocks up at him and throwed rocks at him and everything. This is the king of Israel, he's done it. And one of his men said, listen, let me go and slay this. David says, no, let him alone. God's bidden him to do that. God's caused him to curse me. So let him alone. Let him alone. And that's the way it was, Simon the sorcerer. You know, after he saw the Peter and John and them laying hands on people and them receiving the Holy Spirit, he watched them. Before there, he had been a sorcerer. A sorcerer. Fortune teller. And here he comes up and he says, listen, reached in his pocket and he got some money out and he said, how much would it take for me to get that gift? And Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Your money perish with you. And I tell you what, peradventure God will grant repentance. Maybe that's, he said, you know, you're so hard, you're so mean, you're so sinful, you're so wretched, you're so stiff-necked, you're so hard-hearted, that maybe, just maybe, if I go into the presence of God and make an atonement for you, he might forgive you. And you ever sung that old song? Huh? Depths of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Huh? Me, the chinnest chief of sinners, spare? People don't talk like that anymore. They walk into the presence of God and walk out of the presence of God, and all they do is all they hear about is how much God loves them. But I tell you what, Moses never said, now listen, God loves you, but listen, he got to deal with you. No, that's not what he said. No. And then look what it said there in the verse 31. Look here now. And Moses returned unto the Lord. he returned. He come down off that mountain. You remember, and he broke the tables of stone. And now he went back to return unto the Lord. Went back up on that mountain. Moses was a man of prayer. Oh, what a man of prayer he was. And is a man of prayer. He returned unto the Lord. You can go through the scriptures and find out in Exodus alone how many times he prayed. But oh, how our Lord prayed. Our Lord prayed. Oh, how many times he prayed. In fact, his disciples asked him, said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Not how to pray, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray, teach us to pray. And our Lord Jesus Christ, how often did he go off and pray? And he went off into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed till his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And he prayed before he had performed a miracle so that those people would understand that God did this. And he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee. I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Huh? How many times has he done that for you and me to keep us from our faith completely failing? Huh? Oh my. So he goes up and he returns unto the Lord. Now listen to what he said. And he's before God. And he says there in verse 31, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Oh my. Oh, this is the same man now who says, slay every man his brother. And our Lord, you know, he did the same against his enemies. You know what our Lord said about his enemies? The Pharisees, Sadducees, and the lawyers. He said, woe unto you Pharisees, you hypocrites. How are you going to escape the damnation of hell? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And I tell you what, he pronounced woe and judgment upon them. Woe and judgment upon them. And Moses, the first thing he says when he gets up there, he said, oh Lord, these people have sinned. Oh, they've sinned. It's bad enough to sin. But oh, a great sin. And oh, the sin of making a false god, to making a god out of gold. And that, you know, and then look what he says. The same Spirit of Christ that caused him to earnestly plead for them at his own expense, and God be forgiving and gracious. Look what he says now. Yet if thou wilt not, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, if you won't, O Lord, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Take me and spare them. That's what he's saying. Take me to forgive them. He was willing to die, take his name out of God's book of life. And he said, I'm willing for you to cut me off if you'll forgive these men, forgive these people. And Paul said the same thing. He said, I could wish that I was accursed for my kinsmen, my brethren, according to the flesh, the Jews. And it's what Moses is saying here. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He was made a curse. Made a curse. So that God, in His sovereign, blessed, free grace, could come and put away our sin and justify us and clear us and accept us in His holy sight. What He was saying, Father, if there's any other way, is there another way? No. But oh Lord, let this cup pass from me. Let it go on by me. But He said, nevertheless, thy will be done. And He took that cup, cried out on that cross, my God, of all the people that's been forsaken of God through the generations and generations and generations, You know how many people God's forsaken since Adam? But I, Lord Jesus Christ, He said, O God, of all You've ever forsaken, why in the world would You forsake me? Why do You forsake me? I have to do it so I won't have to forsake all those for whom You died for. So I can love all those that I love that I gave to You. I can bring them to myself because of You. And after the last thing was said and done, He said, oh, it is finished. And I stand there tonight, not only on the finished work of Christ, but on Christ who finished that work. That work ain't no good except only the One who did the work. You know what makes it so precious and life-giving and soul-cleansing and blood sin-cleansing? It's because of who it was that was on that cross. And Moses said, Father, listen, take me and blot my name out of Your book if You'll forgive these people their sin. That's what he's saying. Oh, Moses, he could not be made a curse for them, but he was willing. His affections were bound up with Israel, though a sinful people. And he was willing to be blotted out of God's book. Look with me in Psalm 139. This is wonderful over here. This is just Psalm 139 and verse 14. What a blessing over here to look at this. Let's look at this together. Psalm 139 and verse 14. Look what, here's what David's saying. Oh, he was Moses intently devoted to God's people. And I tell you, Christ intensely, he told his disciples with desire, I've desired to have this Passover with you. But look what he says there in verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He said, Lord, how You created me, how You made me, how You made this body, how You made me fearfully and wonderfully made. And this, look what he says, my body, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, made in my mother's womb, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, and they were unperfect, and in thy book, and in thy book, You put all my members and You wrote them down, and You continued to fashion and make me something when there was nothing there to start with. That's what he's saying. Oh my. And you know, he says, and this, I want you to see this back over here in our text, there in verse 32. He said, blot me, I pray thee. Now listen to this. Out of the book which thou hast written. You wrote this book. God wrote this book. Huh? Oh, that book. That book. To be in God's book. Oh my, I tell you what, a lot of folks want to be in somebody's book in this world. The how-to book, you know, and what's that book, you know, that they may put famous people in, accomplish things through the for a year or something. What's it called? No, not that one.
Guinness book.
Yeah, but there's another one, you know, that they put in people that accomplish things every year, you know, and it's not that. But I mean, people that accomplish educational things and philanthropic things. But anyway, nevertheless, people want to get in that book. But listen, there's only one book I'm interested in. Having my name in, only one. You can even take my name out of your book if you want to. You know, you got a contact. You got a book, you know. You got all your contacts in it. Listen, you take me out of your contacts and you won't miss a thing. And I won't miss it either. But I tell you this, God, don't take me out of your book. Don't take me out of your book. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 33. Now this is one of them things that I don't understand. I just know what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me will I blot out of my book. You know, you know what David said in Psalm 51? He said, against thee only have I sinned. That's what he said. But wash me, and I shall be clean. Cleanse me, and I shall be white as snow. Huh? And that's what he said here. You know, and what God is saying, you let a man stand in rebellion against me. And he says, listen. And this is a frightening thing to think about, that God said, you know, that I'll blot, and man that sinneth against me, I'll blot his name out. I'll do that. It ain't up to you, Moses. It ain't up to you. God is righteous. His government is righteous. And he said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows of his flesh, he gonna reap of the flesh. If he sows to the Spirit, then he reaps of the Spirit. And I tell you, Paul said this. He says, you know, if you live after the flesh, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. And I tell you, that's when Paul said, you know, this body of sin that's on me, this body, he said, this wretched man that was on him. And what he was talking about, this man that was on him, this wretched man, was his flesh that was on his back, that he was packing on his back. And that thing was so stinking and so corrupt, but he yet had to carry it with him everywhere he went until he got to go home to be with Christ. So that's what we do. This flesh is like carrying an old, rotten, corrupt, dead man on our back. We watched the FBI, true story. The FBI the other day was trying to get this man out of the house. He'd go kill his wife and go kill his son. This man was crazy in a bed bug. Just got out of prison and took them captive. And they figured out how to get him out of the house. Said, give me a helicopter and we'll fly away. So he brought the wife out and he had that wife right up against him, just like this here, and had his son tied to his back. And there were four snipers waiting to kill him. Not one of them got a shot. Not a one of them. But when they got close to that helicopter went straight up. That feller fell down. Bam! Right through the head. Killed him. And they thought that they'd killed that little boy. They went over there and he had him strapped to his back. And they untied him and he crawled out from under there. But I tell you, beloved, like that man had that boy on his back, but he was doing it for the wrong motive. Everything is unholy and unrighteous. But we got this dead man on our back. This rotten, stinking, corrupt man on our back. And sometimes he's corrupt more than others. Sometimes he stinks more than others. But there never is a time that he don't stink. Never is a time that he ain't heavy to carry. Is that not right? Never is a time you can say, well, get off my back. You can't do it. He's with you. He's going to be with you until they lay you in the ground. Oh, my. Well, now look what he says here. I got to hurry on. I'm taking too long. And now I said in verse 34. He says here in verse 34. Now therefore, go, get up and go. Lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto you. Now listen to this. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I do visit, when I come and visit their sin, I'm going to visit upon them. And the Lord plagued those people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Now, I'm going to tell you why God sent this angel before them. And you know that's capitalized. Because it says over here in verse 3, look in verse 3 of chapter 33. He said, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now listen to this. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. I'm not going to go in the midst of you. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. The only way in the world that's going to keep me from consuming you is for my angel to be between me and you. That's the only way. I'm not going with you. I'm not going in the midst of you. Only reason I'm not going in the midst of you, because if I go, I'm going to consume you. I'm going to destroy you. So I'm going to send my angel. And he'll be between me and you. And I won't consume you. Huh? Oh my. Ain't you grateful that it's like that? Oh my. Moses, by his intercession, secured the safety of these people for a while. The angel to guide them and to fight for them. And he says in verse 1, 33, the Lord said unto Moses, depart, go up, you and the people, which you brought up out of the land of Egypt, the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, unto thy seed will I give it. And I'm going to send an angel before you. And I'm going to fight the enemies for you. I'm going to fight your enemies for you. You know how many people that was over 20 years of old, when they came out of Egypt, only two people over 20 years of age went into the promised land. Moses didn't go in. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, only two men. One was called a faithful dog, and the one took Moses' place. Only two men. And no wonder he said, the righteous are scarcely saved. That don't mean that they're just going to be saved by the skin of their teeth. That means with all the world and everything that's out there against them, and all the flesh that's the world and everything about it, it's a miracle that any of them saved. A miracle. Supernatural. Huh? Well, I pray God bless it. Our Father, oh blessed Father, Abba Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your presence. Oh Lord, your presence. Oh, it's so blessed to have your presence. I'm thankful that you're not you don't come and consume us, and you stay in the midst of us, that you come in fellowship with us because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with you, union with you, acceptance with you, ability to come and speak to you, and you speak to us through your word. God bless these dear saints of God. Lord, strengthen them, encourage them. Thank you for the saints that's come to visit us, and the grandkids and the great-grandbabies. And Lord, we're thankful, and I know the families are thankful. Thankful for these young. Thank you for the old. Thank you for those who know Christ, love Christ, and utterly cast their souls on Christ for time and eternity. God, I thank you for them. Meet all of their needs. Please be merciful and gracious to all those we've been praying for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful things of earth will grow great. strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I see you wasting